Welcome to the Human and Technology Podcast. This podcast is for anyone who develops, distributes, or uses technology. For all those who always have the feeling that technology overwhelms or dominates them. For everyone who wants to know how to deal with technology in everyday life. For anyone who wants to understand what technology does to us and how we can get our lives back. This podcast is for those who want to make technology sexy. All the product developers, designers, UX, UI professionals, product managers, CTOs, and CEOs. And it is for you. My name is Dr. Peter Ryska. My friends call me Dr. Peter. I am your host, and I am happy that you are here. This is another interview episode of the Human Technology Podcast. I had Olivier Croix on the show. He is head of automotive at MyScript. What he is doing there, what MyScript is doing, what I think is a pretty exciting technology. That is something we talked about in this interview. He also talked about his background, why he is there where he is today. And he also gives us insights into his vision on future mobility, on what the Paris city mayor changed in Paris the day we did the interview, and his view on how mobility will be in the future. All right. Today I am having from my point of view, a pretty exciting guest because he almost feels like a good old friend of mine. It's Olivier Croix of MyScript. He will talk a bit about himself and about his company, about the technologies he's having there. And I will also ask him about his view on future automotive HMIs, what he is thinking. So, Olivier, thanks that you are on the show. It took a bit of time to come together, but we managed it at the very end. And welcome to the Human Technology Podcast.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks for inviting me here. Definitely happy to be in this podcast, but I'd prefer to have that face-to-face, obviously.
Definitely, yes. It's always fun meeting you somewhere and having a face-to-face talk. That will be possible in the future. I'm absolutely positive about this. Okay, so first question. I'm always interested in the humans and the people that are in front of me. Tell us a bit about yourself. Who are you? What brought you to the point where you are today? What are the drivers? What makes you stand up every morning?
Okay, that's an interesting one. I might go back to far back, let's say, to my origins. My grandfather on my mother's side used to import cars in the West Indies. So that's a start. That's the first link with the automotive. My grandmother on my father's side, and I did say my grandmother, started a machine tool industry company in the 50s. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine that. I mean, that's was quite a lady in the 50s, starting a company, made it a large 1,000 plus international company, and in machine tools. Mm-hmm. Great lady, was awarded all that she could in those days, was made Chevalier de la Légion d'honneur, which is one of the biggest awards you can get here in France. And obviously she did give me a industrial background. And when I say her, it's her plus the family, because it was a family business. One of the things that she learned me was to be curious. That it was not a default to be curious, at the contrary. Another thing she learned to me was to not be afraid to ask idiot questions, as they're very often the good ones, the ones that nobody dares to ask. But today, I'll keep that for you. You ask the questions, and I'll only try and make answers. So to go back to my background, my personal background, I'm an engineer, but I never worked as an engineer. I've been in sales for the past 30 years, but same here. I would say that I never really sold something. I basically tried to solve problems that my customers would have with the piece of technologies I had in my hands. Then I'm French. I'm French, but I worked almost the entire 30 years international. So I'm French, but I almost never worked really on the French territory. And then I joined MyScript 13 years ago. And when I joined MyScript, there was no automotive business at all. And I'm today the head of automotive. So yeah, a bit crazy guy. Engineer, but never worked as an engineer. Sales, French, never worked really in French. So okay, not that crazy. Let me refocus a bit. My background is definitely international. I lived and worked in many places. I lived in the US, in Germany, Switzerland, in Cyprus, in the UK. I worked on all those territories, obviously, as well as the neighborhood territories like the Middle East, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and so on. Also worked quite a lot in North Africa, and more recently with MyScript in Asia. So that's all three, China, Korea, and Japan. So that's my international background. Business-wise, as I said, I've always worked as an engineer trying to not sell, but in sales, and all of that has been in IT. Worked for international groups, worked for tiny startups, sold hardware from the almost smallest piece of hardware you can have, which are smart cards, all the way to large mainframes. And that included PCs, servers, ATMs, point of sales, basically you name it, hardware. A lot of services as well, worked on large projects in banking, retail, security markets. And most of the 30 years were in software. And obviously all the time at MyScript, as MyScript is a pure software player. So you tell me, well, okay, what's the link with automotive? There is a link. It all started not only with my grandfather, but here at MyScript, it started with a small, well, small, with an interesting R&D project started by an OEM over 10 years ago. And that's how we pioneered in automotive around handwriting recognition, which is what MyScript does. I'll come back maybe to that if you have some questions on what MyScript does. So it all started with Audi. They were the ones. Trying out our technology. And I must tell you that in those days, I was really wondering, I mean, why would you need handwriting in a car? It sounded quite not logic, very disruptive, and I didn't see the point. But they knew what they wanted. And what they wanted was to make it so simple, it would become completely intuitive in the car and totally non-destructive. So that's how it started. today, over 10 years after that, we are leaders in this market with over 15 to 20 million cars on the road powered by MyScript. So with all of that background, what can I bring to the automotive? Well, machine tool was interesting in the 60s, 70s. It's an industry that went from a purely manual commands to using numerical commands. So that was a bit of software coming into those machines. And it was a revolution for the market, obviously. Then my personal background in computer business, it was more or less the same thing. In the 90s, all of the OEMs were focused on hardware. They were selling mainframes, fighting on hardware specs, memory, CPU, whatever. And all of that completely changed late 90s to go to software and services. And basically, that's what I'm seeing today for the past years in the automotive. The motorists, so those guys were on engines, hardware again, are completely shifting. And we're today talking of software design cars and services. So yeah, that's basically what took me here.
Okay, excellent. You already mentioned MyScript is a software company producing handwriting recognition. Can you tell us a bit more about this? What is behind this? What is the technology? What is the business model? What are your customers? Where can I use it?
Okay, thanks. Thanks for the question. MyScript, well, we're not a startup. The company is over 20 years now, and it all started with a academic project. At the time where, I don't know, do you remember the Palm Pilot?
No, the Palm Pilot, yeah.
So, well, it was a start, and you had to relearn how to write character by character. It was a bit complicated, but it was handwriting recognition. And what our founders had in their hands as an academic project was already working way better than the graffiti you can find on the palm. So that's how it started. They said, well, we have something interesting in our hands. Let's go and create a company. And that's how it all started. So MyScript works on its handwriting recognition. And if you look back to the roots of the technology, it's, of course, artificial intelligence, machine learning. Big buzzwords these days, but that's what we've been doing for the past more than 20 years. So we did pioneer in the handwriting recognition, and we are still today also the leader in the global handwriting recognition with over 500 million end users who use our technology. We don't do that on our own, obviously. We work through very large partners, in most cases, large OEMs, and some ISVs, so some software houses as well. MyScript is French, based in Nantes. When I joined, we were 25. We're today 120 people. We remain a technology provider. If you look at the employees, it's mainly PhDs and engineers. Even the sales guys are engineers. We work in, I would say, three main markets, mainly through OEMs, which are the consumer market, the education market, and the automotive. So where can you find us? Well, what do we do, maybe, first of all? It's not OCR. It's not OCR. What we use is any handwriting you can collect from a touch surface. So it's the real strokes of what you write. And that gives an additional degree on top of just an image, because you have the history of the drawing, I would say, of your handwriting. And that's how you can get to a high accuracy. We do text recognition. That's the origin of the company. And then we went to do some other things like math, diagrams, where you can mix shapes and handwriting, and even music. So you can scribble notes and it plays music, that's it. If we go back to text, we today recognize 72 languages. So that's obviously all the Latin languages, but also Cyrillic, all the Asian languages, so Chinese, Japanese, and Korean, as well as the right to left languages, like Hebrew and Arabic. So it's very large in terms of language coverage. It works on nearly any operating system. It's mainly embedded on those devices, whatever they are. And we also can run in the cloud. The technology, I would say, is quite similar to voice recognition. We try to recognize word and sentences. It's also quite similar in the sense that it's something very natural. Everybody knows how to write. You don't need to learn. And in terms of cognitive power, it's just straightforward. You write as you think. So what's interesting, and I'll come back to the automotive use case later on, is that combined with voice, it's something very interesting in a multimodal input method. The use cases for handwriting, I would say that there are two main use cases. One is note taking. So you can write naturally and then transform that into a Word document, share it with your pairs, and so on. It's obviously something which is very user-friendly, more than a PC, like when you're in a meeting, taking notes on a tablet, for instance, I think is better for the human relation versus a PC where you have this screen in the middle. And obviously, it's also something very private. You don't make any noise. And if you're in a meeting, taking notes by voice recognition is not going to be really possible, whereas using handwriting is something very, very easy to do. The other use case, and that's close to the automotive, are input methods. Input methods, there are mainly, I would say, two main triggers in the market. The first one are the Asian languages because of their complexity. If you look at simplified Chinese, which is a simplified Chinese, so only has a few characters, we're already talking about 6,000 symbols. And obviously that cannot hold on the keyboard. So Asians are used to use handwriting recognition on their consumer devices, smartphones and so on. So that's one of the triggers, because what they have on their consumer device, they want it also in their car. The other one is driver distraction. I'll maybe come back to that later on, but as I said at the beginning, Audi knew what they wanted. They really wanted something which was so simple, you didn't have to think about it. And with all the safety regulations that we have in the automotive nowadays in the US, in Europe, and also in Japan, while there are very few methods you can use once you're driving to interact with your HMI, and handwriting is part of that. So where can you find us? Where can you try our technology? well, a bit everywhere around the globe, in different form factors. It runs on smartwatches. Maybe here the best example is the implementation we've done with Samsung on their Gear S3. Smartwatch is quite small. Using a keyboard is not very helpful on a smartwatch, and handwriting is just perfect. So you can see the form factor, it's very small. And we go to the biggest screens, touch screens out there. So interactive whiteboards, for instance. So you can find us on smartphones, on tablets, on two-in-one PCs, e-readers, more and more on e-readers, interactive TVs, cars, and even trucks. So I would say the biggest device would be a truck. And it's either embedded or as cloud services, as I said. So the markets, it's consumer devices. Our partners here are, well, big guys. We're talking about Samsung, LG, HP, Huawei, in the e-readers, Remarkable or Kobo, for instance. So those drive, of course, the big numbers I was talking about. You can find us in the education. Imagine for a math assessment, being able to directly write an integral or a matrix or whatever equation versus using a math keyboard, which is quite complex sometimes. So that's also one of our big markets. And in the automotive, and here it's quite large as well. Of course, Audi is still one of our customers. Most of the Volkswagen brands use our technology, Porsche, for instance. But we also work with Tesla, with Hyundai Genesis, which is the high range of the Genesis cars. Same with Honda on the Acura cars. So it's quite broad. And we also do our apps, which is, I would say, the only way we can have a direct contact with the end user. So we have two type of apps, well, two apps, one called Nibo, that is for note taking, and the other one called Calculator, which is a calculator. To focus back on the automotive, as I said, there are two main triggers, the complexity of the Asian languages on one side, and the other one, which is safety regulations like NHTSA, which pushes for voice-only interface once you're driving. And the problem here, and that's what helps definitely handwriting to be in the cars, is when voice doesn't work. We know it cannot work all the time. You have technical cases like being underground in a parking lot, or you don't have 4G, or you have a strange accent, whatever. You also have use cases like your kids asleep in the car, other people in the car, you might not want to talk to the car at that time. You could be on the phone getting driving instructions, for example. Difficult to speak to both your phone and the car, or simply listening to music, or you have the chance to have a nice cabriolet. And in those cases, it's going to be difficult to have voice to work perfectly. So what happens is frustration. It's clear that today there are very little amount of people who open the hood to look at the engine when they buy a car. And here again, it's the demonstration that the automotive business is going from hardware to software. What you look at is the HMI, the infotainment system. And when you're driving and you cannot interact with this infotainment system, well, you get frustrated. And even worse, you might take your smartphone, which is going to be very distracting. So here we offer a alternative to voice, which works when you're driving. The idea is very simple. You have any touch surface, and you have touch surfaces everywhere today in the cars. And you can scribble, if you want to get to Paris, P-A-R. You don't need to look at what you're writing. So you keep your eyes on the road, and then you have your destination or your contact or your music. That's it. That's how the automotive pushed us to implement handwriting in the cars. As I said, we are pioneers, market leaders, 15 million cars out there, a bit more. And thanks to that, we've proven that it was natural. It was instinctive and non-destructive. No need to learn, no need to look at what you're writing. We made it simple. Basically, it's the technology that adapts to the user and not the user that has to adapt itself to the technology. Of course, to do that, we made big R&D efforts. The first implementations were on character only in the car. So you had to write a character, wait for a timeout, write another character, wait for a timeout. And we were asking people not to think. So sometimes they forgot the timeout. Mm. Or they had writing habits, like writing hello, H, then E, and then LL linked together, and O. Well, if you ask a single character engine to recognize LL, he might recognize U, M, but definitely not 2L. So we worked on all that. Rotation as well, because you have the passenger, you have the driver, so there could be an angle when you write. Automatic space also. So today, basically, you can write characters on top of each other or write part of words on top of each other and continue stacking that on top without even thinking, without even needing to put a space between the words. And we do the magic behind. And that's why it works. It's because it's so simple. The other reason it works is, as we said previously, well, the hardware is there. Touch surfaces are everywhere in the car. CPU can run Android, Linux, so obviously they can also run handwriting recognition. So that's my script and where you can find us and why we came to the automotive.
Yeah, I mean, I find this super interesting, particularly. I mean, I'm aware on how complex Asian written language can be, like a Chinese, or I mean, Korean is a little simpler from my point of view, but not as simple as a Latin or a Cyrillic or Greek character set. If you solve Hebrew and Arabic, the BD languages, I mean, that's a big one. That's always a, I would not say a disaster, but a big problem if you want to implement that. And if you get that one done, that's really cool stuff. That's yeah. And you mentioned a couple of these the use cases that you have and the big advantages that you have. If you have a look in general at the automotive HMI market beyond what MyScript is doing, how do you see the future in cars? What can we expect in the next years or maybe 10, 15 years from now?
Okay, so let's go maybe a bit beyond just HMI here. First thing, and this is what I've been saying from the beginning, is that we're entering into a software design car environment. I remember Thilo Koslowski. I don't know if you've met, he was the Gartner's automotive practice founder in the late 90s. He's not working for Gartner anymore, but I remember one of his speech at CES. I think it was in 2016. And he was saying data is the new fuel. Algorithms are the new engines. And intelligence is the new horsepower. So this for me is definitely the world in which the car industry is now. And the software has become the new battlefield for OEMs, not only at the infotainment system level, it's everywhere. You have it in ADAS, you have it at the connectivity level, you have it obviously at the autonomous vehicle level. So I think that that's where they definitely have to focus today in the market. And it's also the only way software for them to be able to build new margins. The automotive industry has to invest in so many areas today. EV, would it be just EV? Autonomous vehicles, ADAS, connectivity. So software is really where they have to focus to be able to find new ways of making money. It can be, well, Tesla, for instance, with insurance. Volvo with real-time data from the other vehicles to try and improve security. Of course, predictive maintenance. And I'm not even talking about ads when it's lunchtime and you pass a restaurant. But all that's part of it. So it's data-driven and software-driven. Now, when I look at a car, well, all that obviously is making things more complex somehow. Who really knows how the different ADAS features work in a car? And they're on top different from one model or one brand to another. And autonomous vehicles, same thing here. Who knows exactly the difference between the levels? And today we're only with cars at level 3. On the road. What's going to come tomorrow when you'll have a mix of level 0 to 4 or 5? So for the end user, it's not that easy. And I maybe shouldn't say that, but my car is 20 years old.
Mm. Yeah, I have one of those as well.
So I'm myself discovering all those features basically when I rent a car. So what do we need? We need to, well, make it simple and natural, intuitive. We need to make this complexity, make this technology disappear. And that has a lot, of course, to do with UX and UI designs. Another thing that might happen is that, well, we might need training during all our life to understand those different levels step by step. We might have to go back to school to keep our driving license with maybe help from virtual reality so that we can really test all those use cases that you cannot really test on the road because it could be dangerous. So I see those type of things that could come in the future. Maybe also having, like you have in the States, where you have a driving license for automatic shift and manual. Well, maybe tomorrow you'll have a driving license for automated vehicles where you won't have much to do because it will be self-driving, and you'll have another one to really drive cars. So this can happen, but that's okay. Facing complexity and how to try and make it simple. Now, if you look at the cars themselves, well, there's going to be a mix of futuristic cars, but also back to the future somehow. I mean, you can see the hype around the small Fiat 500 or the Volkswagen Beetle. All those nice designs. And that makes me also think that there could be a big industry on retrofit of old cars, shifting them to electric. It's very narrow today as a market, but maybe tomorrow that's going to come because people love old designs. And those engines definitely use lots of petrol. So shifting them to electric, that could be something interesting. If we talk sustainability, I think that the cars should be able to upgrade. You should be able to extend their life cycle. Why should you need to change a car every 5 or 10 years? No, maybe you should be able to change, well, CPU and memory, would it be just for the infotainment system, but other things as well. Maybe also make them more personal. It's one thing in terms of HMI, user-centric HMI, which people talk a lot about, but maybe from the outside of the car as well. A bit do like Harleys, yeah? You personalize your Harley Davidson, everybody does. So that could also maybe something to make cars more personal, especially more and more they become automatic. You need to keep some fun. And if you cannot drive the car in the future, at least maybe you can make it more personal. Things like solar power. Mm-hmm. I believe this is something which will come. You have the Sona Motors in Germany, which is one good example. There's also Aptera in the US who are doing things around that. And I think this will come also in the future. Completely new designs as well. As the car becomes autonomous, well, maybe you can transform it into a kitchen, into a tiny house. Mm-hmm. So make a mix of tiny house and car, all that together. And I think it's Volkswagen who was showcasing something like that at IAA, mm-hmm. is showcasing at IAA. So these things could come as well. Last point is, again, back to the future. When you see the component shortage and you see some clusters that used to be completely digital but are now implemented with mechanics because the components aren't there, maybe we'll have a mix of all of that. Those are the different trends I can see in the market.
Yeah, okay. So, cool thing, but I think we agree that the automotive industry is moving away from a steel and copper and rubber area or business to a bits and bytes and silicone lines of code kind of business, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I see we are already quite a bit behind, beyond those 30 minutes that I have for these interviews. One last question. Do you have something you want to give to my listeners, a personal nugget, a personal thought, something that really helped you or that you want to give to my listeners?
Oh, that's a large question. In terms of advice and looking at the future, that's more what you do. Beyond the HMI. But okay, let me try and say something here. It's global, it's not only the car. We're talking of a complete change of the mobility globally with new modalities. Today, by the way, today is the first day that Paris, the speed limit is now 30 kilometers per hour, mm-hmm. in the entire Paris. So that's a change by itself, 30 kilometers per hour inside Paris. One of the other changes in Paris, and that's what the mayor is targeting for 2026, is to divide by two the number of parking places. That is huge. And she has already started to decrease the number of parking places. So it's the entire mobility here which is moving. Of course, it means that public transportation is going to grow, and that's what we see. It's growing. There's obviously global warming in the mind around that. And we all saw the raise of the number of sales of bicycles last year. It's huge. So all that is coming. And I think that more than just the car industry, it's the entire mobility industry which is changing. And one of the proofs here is simple for me. It's I passed my driver license a few days after being 18. When I look at my kids, the average, I think I have three kids, so I can talk of an average, is around 23. And why? Because they've been using other means of transportation. So I think that's something that we need to keep in mind when we talk just about cars. Now, maybe just to finish on this, of course, that's not my business. I'm not here to solve tomorrow's problems. And as I said, that's more up to you guys to try and think to what's going to come in the future. If I look at today and what I'm doing today, I'll focus on what are the problems that I can solve today in the cars. And here, pushing handwriting recognition to help lower driver distraction and offer another interface to voice in the car is definitely what I'm going to try and do during the next coming years.
All right, excellent. Thanks a lot. That was, for me at least, deeply impressive. I think my listeners will love this interview that we had. So thanks again. Thanks a lot for your time, for sharing your thoughts, and for giving me a few more insights. I mean, I had the idea that I know you pretty well already, but I learned a couple of new things about you in the past 40 minutes. So thanks a lot again, and I hope to see you soon face-to-face and have a nice cold drink together.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Peter, for the invitation. It was a pleasure being here, and I'm definitely looking forward for this nice drink together as soon as possible.
That's it for today. Thank you for spending time with me. I hope you were able to take something with you and do something for yourself that will be forever. For an ongoing exchange, you will find me on LinkedIn and on my websites, peter-rusker.com and beyond-hmi.de. Write me an email on the podcast at beyond-hmi.de. Tune in next time, take care, and stay healthy.